Happy opening day, Vinny.
Happy opening day, Tyler.
We're going to get to a lot of stuff here, folks. We're going to talk about Ezekiel Tovar's extension. Jordan Montgomery is a Diamondback. Will Smith and the Dodgers agree to a very, very friendly deal for the LA Dodgers. And what's really going on with Ohtani? It's Friday night. You're going to get live updates for games. I'm fired up. Let's get to it.
Swung on a drill deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year.
He drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to it. Back near the wall. It's out of here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 77 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-hosts, Vinny D'Amato and T. Lou. It's Friday night, Vinny. This is more of a casual episode. We did not get through every single team. We came up very short on our commitment.
Sure.
But also to factors that were out of our control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, there was a lot of teams we wanted to cover. I think we covered a lot of the – it's kind of weird to say, or it sounds kind of weird to say – out loud, at least as I think about it, I almost enjoy covering the bad teams a little bit more because I think there's more interesting points to talk about. Like, we could dive into the Braves and the Dodgers and all of those things, and you know, maybe that's what people want to hear, but I want to hear about how are some of these bad teams going to make that next step, or how are they going to jump up, or are they just continuing to fall off a cliff, aka White Sox, right? Like, or Rockies, you know. And that's, I enjoy talking about that aspect more. How are they building a franchise rather than, oh, hey, look at this loaded team that, you know, is going to win 100 games easily. So I'm happy we at least started from the back end. You know, we learned some things. Maybe next year we do it a little different, but I still had fun. So hopefully people listening did too.
It was a lot of fun. And I agree with a lot of your points you make there. It's also cool to see how these teams are structured and what they're going to do. And it was very fun to see how some of these teams out of nowhere, like the Royals, you know, we had their outlook episode and it completely flipped, right? That was really cool.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that. Do you enjoy what is so sad to watch with Ohtani at this point?
Do I enjoy it?
I don't. I was just curious if you had a sick mind and enjoyed what was going on, because it's the most confusing thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, no, I think it's honestly the worst part of it is, to me, it just brings out the worst in people online. Like, I just honestly, that's like the most like, as a fan, as someone who's very into fantasy baseball, like, I just hate reading some of the stuff online because people, I don't know, you know, they speak before they think and they don't think about what they're saying and they have these opinions and they just think they know everything and they come off like, and then it's like things just get lost in translation, I think, quite a bit online. And so, yeah, I hate these kind of big scandals like this, if you even call it a scandal. I'm not sure what to call it right now, but no, I have not enjoyed it. I mean, is any publicity good publicity? I'm not sure. I don't really consider this good publicity for baseball. So, I have much more enjoyed watching the first two days of baseball. I think there's been so many great storylines that I could care less. So no, not really, not enjoying it. You?
No. And his statement and everything that came out basically just solidifying that Ipe stole the money from him and that's it.
Yeah.
I guess people were saying that he seemed emotional and obviously, you know, it seemed like it came from the heart. Who really knows at this point? It's just kind of, you know, one of those things too, where it's like, obviously they can't ask him questions based on it being a legal investigation.
Right.
But that would have been electric. You know, who, if Dana White was running MLB.
Sure.
Ohtani would have been answering questions.
Yeah, he would have been grilled. Yeah.
He would have been. Dana would have been like, we're going to get a lot of clicks on this, and you're going to have to speak, Ohtani.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Dana White would have held it off for a little bit longer, but, you know, build some tension. I don't know. You know, that's a good question. Maybe we can call Dana. I have Dana on speed dial. You
know, oh.
You want me to give him a call? Yeah.
Do you want to give, we'll kind of switch over then, because I think this Ohtani discussion has.
The investigation is going to run a course and we'll figure it out, you know, months
and
from Ohtani's now.
Ohtani's going to win an NL MVP. Let's talk about a little bit of an extension. A couple of them, actually. Ezekiel Tovar with the Rockies, 7 years, $63 million. Deal also includes a $23 million club option in the eighth year, obviously the year after the deal ends, if the Rocks decide to pick that up. So what's more exciting? Well, I guess that's not the right way to put that. It's exciting, but dear Lord, I don't think anything is going to fix the Rockies right now. So I'll start with, what are your thoughts on the extension? And then we'll talk about the Rocks after.
Yeah. Great extension. If there was one positive move that the Rockies made over the last, you know, however long, it was signing Tovar to a long year, you know, an extension. I feel kind of bad for Tovar, right? Like, does he know what he's getting himself into? He must, I don't know. Maybe he's got some altitude sickness. Because that, you're absolutely right. Everything else about that team right now feels kind of like a dumpster fire. You know, Nolan Jones has some positivity, sure, but there's nothing going on there. I had some hope for Kyle Freeland. I actually tried to stream Kyle Freeland in another league, and my ERA is about 38 right now. So already feels like a loss for most of my pitching categories in that league. So yeah, it's a mess, but. Good move for them. Tovar's a blossoming young dude, and you know, he's not going to be, you know, this next Ronald Acuna, Tatis kind of guy, but he should be a very solid contributor. He's got a good glove. He's a good guy from everything that we know and have seen. So, good deal for the Rockies to ink a potential cornerstone for the next 7 years.
And I mean, it's a very cheap deal at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Set for you're below $10 million a year on a guy that could possibly be a very, very above average shortstop. So I thought that was cool. Right now, as we do this, they're currently down 3-1 against the Snakes at Chase Field. I don't even know if it's called Chase Field right now. They did lose 16-1 last night, like we discussed. So hopefully they can somehow win a game and make this all look a little bit more of a light at the end of the tunnel, because things do not look pretty. It's also really depressing. Why does Chris Bryant at first base look so depressing?
I don't know if I have an answer for that one, that specific question.
It just doesn't look good. It's just the way he looks over there. He looks so bored, dude.
Would you be excited? I mean, he came from a World Series winning team, like career, you know, he won an MVP, and now he's just injury riddled on one of the worst three teams in all of baseball. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. That's a good question.
They need to bring up Jordan Beck as fast as possible. That's all I'm asking for.
Okay.
Just bring up a dude who's going to put 40 bombs in the seats and get Coors Field rocking. They actually have some very nice talent that's coming up.
Yeah, Zach Fien's another one. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see him come up. But there's still many, many, many pieces away from making some noise.
Yep.
Sorry, Christian.
Yep, sorry, CM. Well, speaking of the Snakes, Jordan Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Heard of him?
No.
Well, he's on the. I was just said he's.
Is he related to Mike Montgomery? Mike Montgomery for the Cubs.
Jordan Montgomery signed a 1 year, $25 million deal with the Snakes with a vested option in 2025. The player can opt out of 2025 with 10 starts in 2024, which I thought that was a little bit of an interesting read there. The 2025 option vests at $20 million with 10 starts, $22.5 million with 18, and then 25 with 23 starts. Vinny, to all our loyal listeners, what is a vested option?
So from the way I best understand it, and hopefully it makes sense to other people, the vested option is essentially if he makes those thresholds. So whatever the numbers you said, what can you give me just the first one you said again?
20 million with 10 starts.
So if Jordan Montgomery makes 10 starts for the Diamondbacks, he is guaranteed at least $20 million if he wants to play for the Diamondbacks again next year. So he can say, you know, it's almost like a player option, right? He can opt into another year if he makes at least 10 starts and he's guaranteed $20 million. And those numbers climb, so on and so forth, as you mentioned. And it actually, like, so 10 starts at 20 is very player friendly, right? If he makes 10 starts and then gets hurt, he's still guaranteed $20 million. But then if he makes 20 starts or 25 starts, right? I think you said it's $25 million. Like, that's a little bit more team friendly. So, you know, it's kind of a weird, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, not balance, but polarization of maybe how that's allocated. Yeah, because 10 starts is very player friendly. The other side's team friendly. So I imagine, you know, Montgomery seems durable enough to where I think he makes 20 starts. So, you know, but if he makes 25 starts and he decides, I don't want to play for the D-backs next year, I want to test out free agency again. Maybe he really enjoyed this offseason. He got a little bit of an extra break. He doesn't have to go back to the D-backs. So kind of a weird late signing, right? You know, we've pretty much started the season and he signed. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to want to test that again next year, but we'll see.
They weren't even mentioned. I mean, nope. Were they? I never heard about...
I heard Giants. I heard Yankees. I heard
Mets, Cubs. Mets, Red Sox.
Red Sox. Yeah.
It was very, very strange. Now, the snakes, I love it. I absolutely love it. The snakes, of course, they did have Eduardo Rodriguez go on the 15-day IL, so that might have spiked some things there. So it sounds like what I'm seeing, though, is that manager Torey Lovello,
yeah,
said Thursday that Rodriguez could throw off a mound within the next week, and that was reported a day ago. But now you get Zach Gallen, one of the best pitchers in the game.
Sure.
Merrill Kelly, one of the most underrated pitchers in the game. Eduardo Rodriguez, J-Mod, and Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect signing for them, honestly. I mean, you know, this is a team that has World Series aspirations again. You know, I think a lot of people doubt that they can get back. I think a lot of people thought, like, it was a fluke that they kind of ended up, you know, they got hot at the right time, whatever. But this team firmly believes that they belong in the World Series again. And signing Jordan Montgomery makes a lot of sense, because do you remember us talking about them in the World Series last year? What was their biggest problem? After Brandon Pfaadt, they had nobody. They had like reliable starting pitching. And so signing Rodriguez was huge. And obviously signing Montgomery now is huge, because even after that, like, I don't feel comfortable with Ryan Nelson right now. Like, they don't have many options after that. So wouldn't even be surprised to see them make another move for an arm. You know, I'm sure Dylan Cease is still out there available if teams want. So I'm sure that there's going to be trade options at the deadline. We'll see where they end up. But this is a team that wants to be back in the World Series.
It was very cool to see this, because a small market team that many teams had used as a reference point to their fans, the Cubs being one where you don't have to spend all the money in the world to be successful. Well, they laid their nuts down and said, we are here. We want to win. Yes, Eduardo Rodriguez is on the 15-day IL. There are teams that have many pitchers that are on the 15-day IL. We're not talking, you know, Giolito situation, right, where he's out for the year, 60-day IL. This is a situation where they said, look, we right now are in the toughest division potentially in baseball. If you really want to, I would honestly say at this point that that's probably the case, because the Dodgers are the Dodgers. The Giants got much better this offseason, right? Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on the other teams. Why am I blanking?
Padres.
Padres, of course, are going to be
the Rockies.
And I wasn't going to mention the Rockies, but you did. Sure. They honestly should just go play in AAA this year. Like, just play against AAA teams, because no fan should have to watch that. And then, or you mix the A's and the Rockies together and you put them at Coors Field because you still, that ballpark is sweet and you still want to have games there. But it's just really want to make sure that we do not see the Rockies play another game this year, in my opinion.
They I saw someone, I wish I would have saved it now. They put together an all-star team of the worst three teams in baseball, the Rockies, the Nationals, and the A's, and it still was not a good team. You know, it's not like, it's not like there's a couple studs, you know, diamonds in the rough. Like, it's just, it's kind of brutal all around for some of those teams. And yeah, so the Rockies are definitely,
you basically you need the Nationals farm system basically to get called up and then maybe. What were you going to ask me? Sorry,
I was going to ask you too. What did you think of the did you see the little protests that the A's fans had? Did you hear about that?
Okay, so my expectation was that it was going to be another reverse boycott. Is that not true?
Kind of, yeah. So they showed up to the game, but instead of going in, they stayed in the parking lot the whole time. Those couple hundred or thousand fans that just sat in the parking lot and watched the game on, I don't know, some TV screen or something. And yeah, and I do remember, as I read, there was one person who was out there, someone who's kind of running the event. He's been going to games, I want to say it was for the last like 25-30 years. He's been going to opening day games. And yeah, I mean, tough. It's tough for a lot of fans out there. I don't think I realized like how difficult it is for them to lose their team and, you know, for them to kind of watch a crash and burn. So I wasn't sure if you saw that or had any thoughts, but yeah, it's just kind of a sad situation.
I think the MLB right now would take the Savannah Bananas over the Oakland A's.
Some good publicity there. Yeah.
You kind of give them like, hey, you know, you guys can't compete for a World Series or whatever, but we're just going to have you come in and bring this element to the game. So then teams have sort of a fun situation throughout the year, but based on like the way that your games work. So it's kind of like almost like a you can bring minor leaguers up or you can do whatever, because what Oakland is going through right now is actually a horrible thing to watch. And I just hope that they move to Vegas, and I don't really care what happens from there. And then the ownership needs to sell, and then they'll be good. But unfortunately, I don't know if they're.
Yeah. Why would you move to Vegas and then sell? You know, they're going to hold on. So
it's a good point. Yeah. Well, this isn't supposed to be an NL West episode.
No,
Vinny,
no.
Or but AO, Will Smith but... and the Dodgers. Sure. Yeah. This is a very fascinating deal. He got extended for 10 years at $140 million. $50 million is deferred through 2034 to 2043, $5 million annually. So realistically, this is a 10-year, $90 million deal, which is a steal, because Will Smith, if he went to the open market, and he would have gone to a team probably that would have been like, hey, you are going to be catching at all times. Right. Well, many people thought, and I remember we talked about this when I picked up Will Smith in one of my leagues. Well, Ty, he doesn't have the opportunity to be in the DH spot because that'll be Ohtani. So the days that he is off, he's going to be completely out of the lineup because Barnes will be catching. So is this more of a, when Kershaw leaves or he's done probably after this year or next year or whatever it is, in the tenure of this agreement, is it now looking at Will Smith as potentially a first baseman, looking maybe at third base? I know he played third base. Like, is this something where they aren't looking at Will Smith to catch the entire time? I don't know his defensive statistics, but this is really an interesting deal, dude. I wanted your thoughts.
That's something I hadn't considered, you know, maybe him moving around the diamond. That's an interesting, thought. You know, I don't think Freddie's going anywhere immediately. I mean, Max Muncy's not necessarily old. I don't think he's a good third baseman, but
can I interrupt you there?
Yeah, please.
I forgot to mention about the Freddie Freeman thing was, sure, when Freddie leaves on the back half of the deal, he would go to first base.
And it's possible. I don't know if they're thinking that far ahead. I do think what they realize though is Will Smith is as elite of a hitter at the catching position as you can almost ask for. I mean, outside of Adley Rutschman, like, you know, he's right there. He's, you know, one tier below Adley, and he's consistent. He's shown it. And I think that's what they wanted to lock up for. I mean, essentially, you know, you call it $90 million for 10 years with all these, you know, deferred payments, but, you know, between $10 and $15 million, whatever you want to call it, that's a phenomenal deal for, you know, one of the best offensive catchers in the game. And if he does move off the position, you know, you're still getting a good hitter in wherever he goes. And I also think too, this is a guy, this whole team is kind of geared towards, we know we're going to make the playoffs. We want to be healthy when we make the playoffs. So they lock up a guy who they know can catch every day once they get to the playoffs and can be, you know, a top offensive catcher as well. So, you know, I think that's more of their thought, is we're set up for the next 10 years. You know, Otani signed for 10 years, right? So they have maybe some sort of plan of, okay, we're just going to be as healthy as we can throughout the regular season. Once we get to the playoffs, that's when it's full go.
It's also such a friendly deal. I can't get over the fact that this guy is going to be paid under $10 million a year.
There's been a lot of team friendly deals. You know, we see a lot of these long-term extensions. You know, I don't know if it's just players being conscious, because at the end of the day, right? Like $140 million versus, you know, what could he've gotten, $200 million in the open market for 10 years, you know, 200 plus. Okay, yeah, you're leaving $60, $70, $80 million, whatever, on the table. Tyler, I love spending money on stuff. I don't know how I would spend $140 million. Like, that is just like, that kind of money is just absurd. And the fact that he's going to be getting it for the next 10, 20 years, like, he's not really worried about much. And so at that point, it's kind of like, you know, as a player, you just want to take the safety and security, because you know he tears an ACL or something next year, he's not getting anywhere close to that. So there's some security for it. You know, you mentioned team friendly deal. I think there's a lot of these going around because players also want the security and the safety, and I think players enjoy playing in the same place for extended periods of time, right? I don't think players like bouncing around as much as they, you know, have been seen to do, right? Aaron Nola left some money on the table to stay with the Phillies. You know, Zach Wheeler signed with the Phillies as well, just thinking aloud, right? We saw Tovar, we've seen Churio, we've seen, you know, a lot of these young players sign these, you know, long-term team-friendly deals because, you know, A, they want to win, they want to be somewhere they're happy, right? They don't want to end up like Chris Bryant, sad at first base on the worst team in baseball, right? Like, that's kind of it, right? So maybe that's why we're seeing them, but there's a lot there.
Yeah. While we are on the clock here, I will say the Cardinals have looked abysmal against the Dodgers. And just so we remind everybody, we are not a biased podcast, especially us two.
Sure.
We are unbiased, really, really, really cool podcasters. We are. They're sure, down 5-0 right now. They can't hit a, what do they say? You can't hit a boat, or what? Sorry, what do they say?
I already fell out of a boat.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, you never heard that? You don't know that one? Yeah.
I'm just as confused as some of these, you know, hitters in their lineup. But
that's funny.
Oh. Yeah, they look bad. They look bad.
It's Bobby
this is North. Kind of our now. This is kind of our, like, you know, let's talk about the
sure. Let's talk about some spring training. Yeah, let's talk about some baseball.
Spring training.
Oh, whoa.
Are you
opening day? You know what? You know, it's late. I don't know. It's been a long day. Spring training. We're not in spring training. Maybe my brains are scrambled too. What do you got?
Nothing. Oh, nothing, okay. just okay. Like the Cardinals offense. I get five opportunities to do that. They look really, really bad.
Sure.
It's kind of tough though when you gotta go Glasnow, Bobby Miller, 2 days in a row in LA, where I think they have they're not even sold out. They're max capacity of a location that they're probably worried about the stadium falling of how many fans are there. So that's a little tough. The Dodgers look absolutely electric, though, bro. Electric.
Yeah, we knew they would, right? Like, you know, Mookie and Freddie have, you know, they carried them the other night. That's, you know, they're one of the best teams in baseball for a reason. I'm not sure if they're the best. I still maybe think the Braves are, but yeah, Dodgers are going to Dodger. Can we throw that in there with the boat phrase? You couldn't hit the Cardinals if you fell out of a Dodger? No.
We are horrible tonight. but you know why? You know why?
Why?
We're so enriched in just so many games, so much data, so much fantasy baseball. We're absolutely living right now.
We just wanted to get on here.
Kind of talk about the Yankees are going to go 2-0 here. Mm-hmm. Is it official? They looks like, let's see here. They're up 7-1 here, so they're likely to go 2-0 on the year. Carlos Rodon looked like, so the way that I kind of saw Carlos Rodon, one, he looked like a wet napkin with his jersey, because those jerseys are absolutely gross.
Right.
But what I saw from Carlos Rodon was maybe some nerves there at the beginning. Maybe also, too, for him, and you could tell he isn't a really emotional player. And we saw it when he was with the White Sox in the playoffs and everything. Like, this guy wears his emotions on his sleeves, even though, you know, they'll slide off with how much sweat are on him. But the way that he sort of, I don't know what I want to call it, I guess kind of got into groove. And we saw what Yankee fans were really, really hoping for, which was pure domination from a guy that, man, if he can just hold strong until Cole is back, and then Cole can kind of take the reins, this team's sitting in a pretty good spot, because that lineup is electric too.
Yeah, and one of my favorite plays so far from spring training, I mean, opening days, was Juan Soto making that throw the other night.
He looks pretty good in the Yankee uniform. Yeah. He looks really, really good.
Yeah, it's too bad. He'd look better in the Cubs, but, you know, we're not biased.
He'd look a lot better at Wrigley. He would.
Yeah, we don't do that here. But yeah,
Cardinals are down 5-0.
Yankees could be pretty scary. I do think I'm kind of surprised. I've seen a lot of people throw the Yankees as potential favorites or at least runner ups in that division. And, you know, maybe that's before the Cole injury, but I still feel like I'm seeing it quite a bit. Call me, like, I don't know what you want to call me. I just don't see it. I'm going to be the Yankees. I'm going to throw cold water on it. I think, you know, Soto looks great. If Judge stays healthy, maybe they got it. But, like, that's the big thing. They have to stay healthy. Judge has to stay healthy. You know, Rodon has to stay healthy. Cole has to be healthy. Like, I think there's way too many health concerns for that team for me to even consider them as a top two team in that division. And, you know, is there a outcome where they, you know, take second, maybe first? Like, yeah, 100%. But if I'm betting on them, I'm betting on them finishing behind the Orioles, behind Toronto, probably behind Tampa. I think they're probably neck and neck with Tampa. But yeah, they still got a lot of questions to answer. But overall, good start for them in two games. So
this is how tough it is, though, man, because we saw it last year with our Cubs. We see it with so many teams where you catch fire at certain times, man. You can look like the best team on the planet, but it does not matter until you actually get into October. But it is a critical thing to get off to a great start, because it does set the tone for the rest of the season. We will now talk a little bit, though, about the Astros, they're fine. It's almost like, hey, credit to the Yankees. They're kind of surprising us with the two games they've done. Astros will be fine.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Cubbies a little bit. So obviously Justin Steele, I don't know if it's officially reported yet or not that he went on the 15-day IL. I don't know if that's actually officially reported.
Beneficial.
But Craig Counsell basically said that last night in his post-game press conference. Wild game. Wild game. Really the talk of the internet, especially as it was on ESPN last night on primetime. The foul ball heard around the world that wasn't called a foul ball. That was tough. I'm talking about actually two, because you got when Mastromoni had fouled that ball off and Jonah Heim thought, okay, it's a foul ball. He did not call it a foul ball, the umpire, and Michael Bush heads up play. Good for him. Scored all the way from, second base.
What were your thoughts on that one? Let's talk about that one real quick. Cause
it was a foul ball. I mean, I don't even know why anybody was. Like all I remember was sitting there being like, ball don't lie. When Jankowski hit the
home run.
Home run. Yeah. It was like, ball don't lie.
I said the same thing.
Like Jankowski does.
Jankowski's hit 10 home runs in what, 4 years? And
like he comes talk out about, and yeah,
like a bomb.
ESPN, ESPN did it right there. I thought, you know, that was tough. Christopher Morel looked like he, you know, obviously made the game 7-3 when that ball was just went foul. He looked great. But it was, I mean, look, the call was wrong, and it should have been called. It should have been called properly, and it wasn't.
There's a little bit to break down here. First question I want to ask you: should those plays be reviewable?
Why can't they?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I would say yes, because if you're going to review everything else in the game at this point. Right. That was the most critical moment of the game at the time. It allowed the Cubs to take the lead. Like that is a critical moment in the game. And if that happens in the playoffs, could you imagine that happening in the playoffs? And then let's say Adbert actually does his job and closes out the game. You won a game off of that because those playoff games are so close and every little thing matters. So yes, I think they should review it.
Now the second thing, and this is kind of tough for me as a former ball player, right? Because I understand emotions are high. And, you know, you can call it Hollywood because Jonah ended up coming back and, you know, winning the game for them, right? Ripping a shot into right center field. There's got to be a little bit of blame placed on Jonah Heim at that point, too. He's tried to stand there and plead his case after he had been told at least once that, no, we're not calling it a foul ball. Look, man, I know you think, but it's a live ball. Like, I'm sorry. If you don't stand there and argue your point, Michael Bush doesn't score. Like, and then Jankowski comes up and maybe it's a home run, maybe it doesn't. But there's got to be a little bit of blame. And I'm sure he knows that, right? I don't think he's, you know, immune to that. I didn't listen to his interview or anything after the game, but there's got to be a little bit of blame placed on Jonah Heim because, again, if he doesn't stand there, Michael Bush doesn't score, right? If he goes after the ball, even though he can plead his case after, it's not going to change the fact. So, you know, would I like to see him run after the ball? But, again, I understand emotions are high. It happens so quick, right? Like, I mean, you're talking split seconds. So I get that. But, you know, just as if any future ball players are out there listening or any ball players are out there listening, take that heed of advice, right? Like, play until the whistle, right? You hear that all the time in football or other sports. That's a critical, critical moment of the game that, you know, could have been saved had he just taken a step back and said, I'm just going to go get the ball first, and then I'm going to yell it in your face.
Agreed. That is a very good point, and I didn't think about that. He ultimately walks it off, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, really unfortunate news. Like we talked about, Justin Steele, the impact that'll have on the Cubs. Of course, the Cubs have "quote unquote" depth from a pitching standpoint. I think it's hilarious that term. I remember Sam Olber and Matt Cozy were talking about it on Locked On Cubs today, where it was, they have depth, but we're gonna trust that Ben Brown's gonna come up and give you six innings, and Javier Assad is gonna be, you know, a solid player or pitcher and have the same form he did last year. And hopefully, you know, analytically or from the analytical crowd, nobody thinks Javier Assad's going to have that great of a year again. But again, hey, we know this dude. Pitchers can pitch. So back to what I was saying, though, was the Cubs are now in a difficult spot. And Imanaga, while everyone is very excited about, is never pitched in a big league game. So we're not going to stand here and, you know, obviously have him try and be the new ace. Kyle Hendricks is, we'll see.
Yeah.
We don't know. We really don't know what we're going to get. And Jordan Wicks is, you know, going into his second year of being in the big leagues. There's a lot of issues here. Jameson Taillon's out as well. So there is a lot of concern for us Cubs fans.
Yeah. Another one that you didn't mention that I really don't want to see pitch again for a while is Hayden Wesneski. Like,
he is in Triple A Iowa, but yes.
Yeah. He has not looked good for a while. He's one I had really high hopes for, but we can't sit and wait for these guys to figure it out, right? Like, this is like one of the years where it's like, okay, you know, we've been waiting on this for a while. I feel like this is a year. Like, this is a very winnable division, and you didn't go out and add Jordan Montgomery. Like, you actively chose, we're not going to spend that money because we feel like we have enough depth. You know, we signed Imanaga. Imanaga's a great signing, but when, honestly, like, I think Jordan Wicks is their second best pitcher behind Justin Steele. And now Jordan Wicks is supposed to be the best pitcher. Like, like you said, we don't know what to expect from Imanaga. Kyle Hendricks, you know, he could throw 8 shutout innings, but then he can go out and get shelled. Like, there's too much of a variance with him. Jordan Wicks feels like the safest, most consistent guy who could put up great games for the Cubs as well. And you're not going to win a division with Jordan Hicks as your best pitcher. And, you know, obviously Steele's going to come back, and, you know, who knows how long he's going to be out for. But, they had a chance to improve, and they didn't take it. And I think that is leaving a bad taste in Cubs fans' mouths, especially now that Steele's out.
And it's tough to watch. It's going to be really, really tough to watch. And a lot of people that are baseball fans do not want to see Justin Steele on the bench. They want to see him on the mound every 5 days. So we're hoping, really hoping that it's a quick recovery.
And if I can also add too, like you mentioned, you know, Adbert's got to come in and do his job. Is there any trepidation that Adbert's not going to be what we want him to be, right? If Adbert's not there, and, you know, Hector Neris is a good pitcher, and Mark Leiter Jr. Like, we have some names, but I wouldn't say the bullpen's a strength either. Like, we have a lot of pitching question marks right now. So, I just wanted to throw that out there too. Like, I know you mentioned it, but yeah, we don't know where we're going to go. We don't know how it's going to end up.
I think I know what's going to happen for this ball club, and I think it is looking like a potential for a World Series bid is the Baltimore Orioles. Corbin Burnes was elite. And yes, the Angels lineup is the Angels lineup. We can say all that. You know what, though? If we're going to say, oh, it's the Angels lineup, and, you know, who knows, you know, what he's going to really look like in, you know, bigger situations, people were getting hyped about Jordan Hicks having a good outing against the A's. So for all those people that got hyped for him going 5 innings against the Oakland A's, you can shove it, because Corbin Burnes can come into any ballpark right now and dice up your squad. And I think that lineup is so potent. They all looked very, very comfortable, especially opening day. They got, you know, Jackson Holliday, of course, first at bat in AAA today, hits a bomb. So not only they got him, they got a lot of guys coming up that are going to be very successful big leaguers, whether they're in Baltimore or not in the future. I cannot see a situation where this team at least doesn't make the ALCS.
Yeah, I had to do predictions for Just Baseball Media, and they were my AL champ team. I don't see how they're not American League favorites. I think I said it a few weeks ago on this podcast, and I think I was in the, I don't remember Christian or Kyle's picks or yours, but I want to say I was the only one who picked Baltimore. Do you remember those picks off the top of your head?
I think a couple of us had picked Houston. I'd have to look back at it.
Yeah, but I don't remember, but I totally agree with you. I just want to plant my flag in Baltimore, because this is one of the most well-rounded teams, especially now that they added Corbin Burnes. It is one of the most well-rounded teams, and I think they have you know, obviously, you know, we can talk about their farm system. They have the best farm system in baseball. And a lot of these guys are right on that major league, minor league cusp. It's not like they're a year away or 2 years away. Like, these guys are ready to compete. What better environment to bring them in than a team that has World Series aspirations? Like, I was thinking this actually the other day with the Cubs, right? We saw some problems with third base. Who better to have at third base right now? In my opinion, you know, I don't want to see Garrett Cooper up to bat in the 10th inning and strikeout looking. Like, that drove me nuts. I want to see Matt Shaw in there. I want to see Owen Casey. Give me the guys that are hungry, because Baltimore has plenty of those guys, right? Jackson Holliday is hungry. Like, they have so many dudes down there who are just like ready, chomping at the bit to get out there. And we saw it in spring training. Like, these guys are no fluke. So yeah, not only are they the most complete team, especially now that they won 100 games last year, and then they add Corbin Burns, and they don't really lose any, they don't lose any offensive pieces. And oh, Cedric Mullins is healthy now. Oh, and we have all of this minor league talent. I don't know how they're not the favorite by like a head and shoulders above everyone else, because excuse me, they're just, they have everything going for them. Maybe besides, you know, they could probably use some pitching depth as well, but who couldn't, right?
Yeah. I think Grayson Rodriguez is really going to take the league by storm this year. I think he is this is a very bold take, but a very, very low key Cy Young, but the problem is that it's so low based on the fact that Burns is in front of him, but this kid is elite as well. So want to talk to them, want to give them their flowers, because they looked very, very good. Frankie Montas also looked really good for the Reds. Nick Martini, shout out local guy, two bombs. Reds look really, really good. I mean, they played the Nationals, so we'll hold our thoughts there. I'm trying to think really anything else that you saw. Oh, I do want to touch on one thing really quick, unless you had anything you wanted to mention.
Because I think it kind of rolls in what we were talking about. Felix Bautista went down for Baltimore Orioles, right? And what did they do? They didn't just sit there and say, oh, well, Yennier Cano is good enough. No, they went out and added Craig Kimbrell. Like, this is a team that knows their weaknesses and is going to plug the holes that they need to. So I just want to throw that out there. Love everything that Baltimore is doing.
What's really sad to watch, which is a player that I know you really, really love, and I think everyone
don't
would really be
talk
happy
talk to
that.
Me. Sorry, go ahead.
It's tough, man. Royce Lewis went down, of course, with a quad injury. I mean, you can't talk. I mean, this is just the saddest story in baseball, dude. It is so bad. I mean, how unlucky this poor guy is. And for anyone who hasn't listened to interviews with him, go listen to interviews with this guy. He sounds, the way that he talks about the game of baseball, the way he talks about his teammates and the respect he has for the game, this would be a guy that if the Cubs went and got, I would, and he was injured only half the year, I would be all for it just because of how much this dude loves the game, and unfortunately just how much of a talent he is has not been able to be seen on a wide scale because of his injuries, Vinny.
Yeah, I was trying to see, I don't have it up because it hurts too much to look at. I was trying to see if I could find like kind of the trend of him getting injured over the last, I guess it'd be 4 or 5 years now. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, Royce Lewis is he was a number one overall pick at was a 2017 draft, I want to say. And he came out and he was phenomenal and everything was going right. And you mentioned, you know, I said 2017. That's quite a while ago. I think it was 2017. I can double check that. But ever since, I think, you know, he tore an ACL and then he came back and then tore another ACL. Like, he has just been injury riddled his entire career since he's been drafted. And he's not like one of those guys that takes time to come back from injury and perform. Like, every time he is out there, he's performing. He went 2 for 2 the other day with a home run and a single and then got hurt. Like, it's just, it's not, that's one of those things. Like, baseball is so much better when he's playing, because he is like MVP caliber player. And I don't say that lightly. He would be a front runner for the AL MVP. And that's in a league with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and all of these other phenomenal players. He is that type of good player. So yeah, it does hurt. It feels like Buxton all over again, unfortunately.
It does. It does. I feel bad for the Twins. And you're right. The way that he took that crowd under his wing and the team under his wing in the playoffs last year, unfortunately, I think that's just what we're probably going to see, unless that all changes this year. But, you know, only 58 games last year. I know that he had some, of course, injury history throughout his minor league campaign. That's probably why he wasn't in the big leagues faster, is because 100%. He was dealing with so many injuries. So the Twins did end up winning that game against the Royals. But it's a sad situation because people really, really need to see this guy play. And it's just, he's running around second base and something looks like it pops. And it's like, man, like literally the biggest storyline of the entire spring training offseason about Royce Lewis, if he stays healthy and day one, he goes down.
Yeah. I mean, there was even, I think it was the last game of spring training when, he hit a ball off the wall and I mean, he ripped it and it looked like he was jogging around the bases and he made it to third base like easily. And it's one of those things like, dude, I know we say go max effort, but maybe your body is just not meant to handle max effort. You know, maybe you shouldn't be running 100% around the bases because you're fast enough to get to where you need to be. You know, if you had a stand up double, go stand at second base, right? Don't try to stretch it into a triple. Don't try to stretch a single into a double. Like, there was really no reason for him to push 100%. It's one of those things, like, maybe he should just play at 80% or 90% because that is better than 90% of the league's 100%, right? Like, he's a special talent, and it really crushes me to watch him go down. That is by far the saddest storyline so far of the year, and I don't think it's going to be close for a while. Even bigger than Steele for me. I mean, yeah, I'm crushed to see him go down.
Yep. It's tough seeing these things happen on opening day. It's very difficult to watch. Last thing I wanted to bring up, did you see the whole issue today between Jeff McNeil and Rhys Hoskins?
I did.
What were your thoughts on it?
I wanted to look at the rules again. My initial reaction is dirty slide, right? The announcers were saying it was technically clean according to the rules. And so I do kind of want to see what the rules specify as far as, you know, what kind of slide is allowed. It's kind of one of that weird gray area, right? We see it all the time. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Tyler, if I'm a pitcher and I hit you, well, the next inning, your pitcher is going to come out and hit one of our guys, right? Like one of those kind of unwritten rules at this point, like, you know, you don't do that in today's game. You don't make those kinds of slides. But people are always going to kind of, you know, resort to those old style ways of playing. And I don't think they're necessarily going anywhere. And we've seen people get hurt from it, right? And I think that's what McNeil was worried about and other, you know, middle infielders get worried about. So it's a tough situation because I am not making a slide like that if I'm Rhys Hoskins, but some people just play the game that way. And, you know, was he within his rights to slide that way? Maybe. Again, I'd like to look at the rules, but, it's baseball kind of, right? Like, you know, there's so many ways to dissect and so many lenses to look through. So I'm not sure if I have a grasp on how I feel yet, but I wouldn't be making that kind of slide. I think it was a little bit dirty. So that's my thought.
Rhys Hoskins, a former member of the bad knee community, could have really put Jeff McNeil literally in the exact same spot. What I think I saw too was that basically like the play happened and there really wasn't a chance to turn two. Maybe Rhys, of course, is going to think that is. Now, a little history there, of course. Reese was, of course, a part of the Phillies, which that dynamic in Philly is basically a bunch of bulldogs in a cage that you're basically releasing onto the field when there's, you know, other puppies out there. It's tough to watch, like, and sit there and think, well, he's playing hard.
Yeah.
But you watch the slide, he's kind of got a little intent behind it to do something. And I didn't like it, but I will say this, right? People want to go on here and say, you're soft. That's not the way that it should be. Okay, fine. You go be Jeff McNeil. Play.
Yeah, yeah.
You go play the game. Mm-hmm. I've been in a situation like that where a guy slid through me. It does. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. It's not we're tough type of situation. We're playing hard. No, that's dude. Like
tearing an ACL, you're out for the year.
Exactly. Yeah. And Rhys Hoskins, yes. Yes, I understand. He's playing hard. But if you watch, he literally is like McNeil's leg goes in. And if you watch the slow-mo, it looks like he actually does crack his leg in half of how hard he went. Now, of course, everybody went out there and found videos of Jeff McNeil sliding into second base and, in ridiculous manners, right? So neither guy is in the right here. I will just say, though, that it was scary. It was a little scary how he slid into him. And then I thought Reese was hurt because McNeil is yelling at him. And I'm like, man, if Reese was like, good. I wonder if that could have gotten really out of hand really, really quick. That would have been a really fun way to start the year.
Yeah. Again, there's so many ways to dice it. And, you know, the more I think about it, yeah, it was pretty dirty. Like, I'm not going to stand there and say this is the kind of baseball that I advocate for. But at the same time, you know, I can't say that I don't understand it, right? Tyler, you and I have grown up around it. We know how some... You know, we've seen it firsthand, right? Just with how some of these plays kind of work themselves out and, you know, how some of these guys are coached. And you brought up the fact that he's with Philly. Yeah, Philly is a team that, you know, they're not backing down from anything. They're going to go out and attack you and make sure that you know that they're there. And if you get caught in their way, that's kind of their MO. And, you know, we see, you know, NFL teams like that. Like I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers or the, you know, there's teams that just, that's part of their MO. And if they're going to, if that's in the rules to do it, and that's why I go back to the rules, right? People may not like to hear that, but if that's within the rules, I have a hard time blaming Reese. I really do. Because at that point, if you're going to blame Reese, you should be blaming the MLB for not tightening up on those kinds of rules. So
that is a valid point. That is a valid point. And you're right. It's probably something we should look into more. Yeah. It's just the way that it went down. I wasn't a fan of.
No, but I agree.
Again, there might be a Nico Horner or somebody from the Cubs that slides in second base and all of a sudden I change my opinion. So,
and then all of a sudden it's dirty and I'm suing the MLB. Yeah,
exactly. Well, getting up almost at an hour here, buddy. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I love that baseball's back. There's been so many fun storylines. Some guys that I really like, I'm love watching Michael Garcia. I'm so happy he hit a bomb. I'm watching the Boston Seattle game. Sedane Rafaela just hit a flick that was, you know, a foot off the plate. He reached out and poked it. Like it's fun to watch the best players in the game play because, you know, even on those small plays, like hitting a ball that's a foot off the plate, like that's just, it's so impressive and he hits it hard. And, you know, there's just little things like that I'm happy that's back. You know, I love the game. So, I'm just happy to be here.
Mookie Betts tonight, home run, diving play at second, almost just made another ridiculous play. Yeah, baseball is so back. The stars are really shining over the last 48 hours. So if you aren't watching, folks, there's going to be games all day tomorrow and all day Sunday. It makes me so happy. March Madness is going on. It is a great time of the year, man. It is so good. And you know, we're going to try, of course, you know, this last week was really hard to get everybody on or anybody on an episode. I was, you know, with my work stuff and other commitments for other guys. But we're hoping during the season, you know, for sure, one episode, maybe try for two, we're going to see if we have success with it. Vinny's doing a great job with his fantasy baseball stuff and just baseball. You know, that's obviously taking off very, very well. So, you know, a lot of our guys, we're just a farm system at this point, just handing out dudes left and right to other companies to go crush it. So,
yeah. And, you know, you have maybe some potential stuff that you could be working on too. You know, I haven't heard an update about some of that, but we'll know, we're it's a good farm system. We're the Baltimore Orioles, Chicago Cubs of this league right now. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm happy where we're at. I'm happy where, you know, I think things are headed for us. And, you know, we may not have 10,000 followers right now, but I enjoy doing it. And that's what matters. You know, we keep coming on, Tyler. We keep coming on. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, to everyone that tuned in, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Big Fly Pod. And we hope to talk to you again soon.